I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up 20 minutes from now, we'll check in with the Jaguars. JP Shadrick, who's a part of the Jaguars Radio Network, will join us. Okay, Hickey, I got two pieces of news here. You want to hear what is behind door letter A first or door letter B?
Let's go B.
Okay. The New England Patriots have just announced that they are beginning contract discussions with Gerard Mayo, and they will also begin interviewing for an offensive coordinator. Now, to be clear, they are not interviewing Gerard Mayo, who's been on staff, to be the offensive coordinator. And you say, Zach, why are you clarifying that? Well, look at the Bosa they just had be the offensive coordinator this year with a defensive background. From Foxborough, Massachusetts, the home of the six-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, the New England Patriots and head coach Bill Belichick have begun contract extension discussions with Gerard Mayo that would keep him with the team long term. In addition, the team will begin interviewing for offensive coordinator candidates beginning next week. So we heard the report the other day that they're going to completely revamp the offensive side of the ball, and they're going to start by actually bringing in someone that has been on the offensive side of the ball before, whether that's Bill O'Brien, whether that's Cliff Kingsbury, someone else. Your guess is as good as mine. But the Gerard Mayo thing, not to get too much into the weeds here, but I thought it's very interesting because he's not officially the defensive coordinator there, and some people believe that if he wants to one day become a head coach, he's going to need to become a defensive coordinator somewhere else. There's been a few teams that have requested permission to go interview Gerard Mayo, and he's even got an interview to become a head coach with the Carolina Panthers. Now, I don't think that he will become a head coach this offseason, but if someone offers him a job, then you take the head coaching job instead of being the, I guess, the new title will be defensive coordinator in New England, whether they want to officially give him that title or not. But it is clear that if they're announcing, right, Hickey, that the Patriots to extend Gerard Mayo and that they have begun contract extension discussions with Gerard Mayo that would keep him with the team long-term, they're pretty confident that this deal is going to get done and Mayo's not going to go elsewhere unless he gets offered a head coaching job. I don't think those chances are all that well. So I guess he will be getting a bigger role, even though he had a pretty big role to begin with. They'll figure out the contract details, and Gerard Mayo will be staying in New England.
Yeah, you're not announcing that unless a deal basically you believe is going to either, you know, basically cross some T's, dot some I's, or that there's a guarantee he'll be back.
Put
there's
it this
no
way.
Way he's not.
Next week, I don't expect there to be an announcement that Gerard Mayo is going to be the defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns. Now, if there's an announcement that he's the next head coach of the Texans or the next head coach of the Carolina Panthers, that's different. But I think by Mayo doing this now, kind of whether it's talking to his agent or other, you know, just rumors that he hears around the National Football League, I think he knows he's not going to get offered a head coaching job. And interviews are different, but head coaching job and actually getting hired, I think, is a little bit different. Obviously, there's a difference. Just because you get an interview doesn't mean that you're going to get the job. So I think this points to Gerard Mayo coming back. Now, to the news that I think more people actually care about, there's a lot on Jim Harbaugh. So the president of Michigan released this statement. I'm pleased to share that I have been having very positive and constructive conversations with our athletic director and football coach, Ward Manuel, and I both want to see Jim Harbaugh stay as the head football coach of the University of Michigan Wolverines. Now, if you just hear that, Hickey, you say, okay, what does that really mean, correct? Because, of course, you want it to stay. Jim Harbaugh, and let me just backtrack here, because Trevor Woods earlier today, who covers the Michigan football team, said that Pete Thamel, pass this along, says that Michigan is unlikely to issue Jim Harbaugh a new contract until there's some clarity in the current NCAA case. Now, when I heard that earlier today, Hickey, I'm thinking to myself, if you're not going to go to bat for your guy now, as long, and if that report is true, and Pete Thamel's pretty reputable, he's the biggest insider there is for college football, ESPN hired him for a reason, but if you're not going to go to bat for him now, and it takes two to tango, if an NFL team offers Jim Harbaugh a job based off that, he's not even going to get a contract taken care of, an extension taken care of, a bump in pay taken care of until after this NCAA investigation wraps up and there's more clarity on it, then if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I'm telling the university, go screw. If I get offered a job, I'm leaving. So Jim Harbaugh actually just released a statement. Here comes another statement. And he said, I'm in full support of the president's message to our fans and appreciate his support of me and the team. And John U. Bacon, who's been on this show just as recently as last week, says sources confirm what seems increasingly apparent, odds of Harbaugh staying at Michigan growing by the hour. Not done yet, but looks to be going in that direction. How much conflicting information can you get in one day, Hickey? First, there's the report the university's not going to go to bat for him in a contract extension. They get clarity with the NCAA. Then it's, all right, the president releases a statement in support of Jim Harbaugh. Then Jim Harbaugh responds to the president's statement. And now, when it looked like Harbaugh, as of yesterday, maybe even parts of today, just needed an offer and he would be on his way out, now John U. Bacon, who's pretty trusted here and knows Harbaugh pretty damn well, he's saying the odds of Harbaugh staying at Michigan are increasing and they keep on growing by the hour. I'm so confused by all this stuff with Harbaugh.
I don't see in any way how you look at what the president said, what Jim Harbaugh's second statement says, and how you feel confident he's staying.
I never said that.
No, not you. I'm saying anyone in general that believes he's staying, because, again, another opportunity for him to shoot down any rumors as he is, forget about turning down the NFL like he said he was last week. Now he's interviewing for the Broncos job. So now he's actually taking action in terms of getting back in the NFL, and here he is always saying, thank you, President, for your support. I appreciate it. No, I'm not going anywhere. No, this is where I want to be. It's, oh, thank you for your support. And all the presidents said, I hope he's here. There's nothing concrete whatsoever about Jim Harbaugh staying in Michigan.
The only thing that makes me pause for a second, because I'm with you, I think he's leaving if, here's the big if he gets offered a job. And that's the thing. He last year put all of his eggs in the basket of the Minnesota Vikings. However he wants to spin it, be my guest, he interviewed for 10-plus hours. If you're just interviewing an interview to kind of use that to your advantage and drive up the price for Michigan, you're not sitting in a room for 10 hours. You wanted the Minnesota Vikings job. This year, it seems like he was willing to open up the pool of candidates because he's talked to the Broncos. Not only that, he tried, depending on what you believe, to talk to the Panthers, and it seems like the Panthers, for whatever the reasons were, weren't interested. So maybe he does rub people the wrong way, and maybe he just won't get offered a job. Because that's the part of it, Hickey, where you have said it and I've said it. Right now, it does feel like he's leaving. Right now, it feels like he wants to go to the NFL. But you could want to go to the NFL, and he's deserving of another chance. He went to three NFC title games in 4 years and almost won a Super Bowl when he was coaching up against his brother in that great Super Bowl between the Ravens and the 49ers. But maybe when he interviews, he does rub people the wrong way, and there's only five jobs available right now, and maybe he doesn't get offered a job. And then you go back to Michigan and you basically do the same thing that you've done last year, where it's not going to be a yearly thing when we all know this is going to continue to be a yearly thing. You are right, though. He could have slammed the coffin shut on this, and he still hasn't done it. And right now, it kind of makes it, whatever he says, that's fine. When you officially agree to a, right, if he's coming back, he's agreeing to a new contract in some way.
He better be, yeah.
And then when we get that, but that's what I'm saying. When you get that announcement, that's when like I'll kind of believe, okay, that's the finality of you staying for at least one more season at Michigan.
And that's the thing, right? Now it's next. It's going to be the same song and dance for a long time. Until maybe either he finally shuts it down or maybe he gets the offer he's looking for and leaves.
Or maybe whatever he's doing in the interview process that's not working, he changes up the approach if he really wants that NFL job. Because that's a big part of this. We don't know how he interviews, but clearly made enough people think in the Vikings organization that they wanted to go with Kevin O'Connell over him with a majority, and who knows how he interviewed with the Broncos.
I guess at this point, there's so much tape on Harbaugh in terms of who he is and his personality that I don't think even changing it's going to do anything. Like, he is who he is. Either you want him or you don't. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there's no, like...
And the resume would say that I would want him.
Right. 44, 19, and 1. Yeah, I would agree.
How much weight do you put into the John U. Bacon stuff? Because you know John and him, it's more than just, like, a reporter. That they're friendly. He's had unprecedented access to Jim Harbaugh through the books that he did author, and John tweeted out, sources confirm what seems increasingly apparent, odds of Harbaugh staying at UM growing by the hour, not done yet, but looks to be going in that direction. The U Bacon thing is what makes me say, maybe he is coming back.
The only thing about that is, I don't think it's Jim's decision. It's like really the NFL's decision if they want him. Like he's basically at the door knocking, will you let me in? It's not Jim Harbaugh's decision to say, I don't want to go in the house. I don't want to go to the party. It's, will you get let in? If he's let in, he's going in.
Well, he is being particular in his selection. Like, we know, right, he interviewed for the Broncos job. He tried to interview for the Panthers job. Guess there wasn't interest. Have we heard anything about him in the Colts?
And there's some reports, but no, nothing but concrete.
He doesn't have an interview lined up. If he really just wanted to go back to the NFL for any job, you don't think he can't get on the phone with Jim Irsay and make that deal happen?
Well, I think he takes any job that's given to him. I just right now, I don't think the interest is coming. Hit. Like, I don't think he's not turning down anything. That's what I don't think.
Okay, but once again, you need to have two to tango here. They have to want you, and he also has to want them. If you're saying he would take any job, why isn't he interviewing for the Texans job? Why isn't he interviewing?
Because maybe they're not interested. I get that. I think that's part of it. Like, he only interviewed last year for the Vikings because they were the only team I think that gave him an interview.
But I also think he's being picky on the interviews that he does take. And I think for these other jobs that he hasn't interviewed with yet or attempted to interview with yet, he doesn't want to go there. So I don't know if it's just necessarily he's going to take any job that comes his way. Like, if let's just say the Texans offer him the job. If they say, we want you, we want the job. I don't know if he's definitely going. He may think the Texans, like a lot of people, are this crap organization. So, I think, yes, you are right in terms of if he gets offered a job, he'll probably take it. But once again, is he putting himself in a position just to get that offer from anywhere? Because all we know right now is he's interviewed with the Broncos and that's it.
And right, it's why is that? Maybe it's because the interest from the NFL towards him is just not there. Like, you hear reports that he was the one reaching out to the Panthers are not the one reaching out to him. The Panthers are seemingly, reportedly, not interested. Jim, reportedly, was very interested. So again, it seems like you don't really hear any reports of Jim Harbaugh turning X team down. It's always that team not being interested in Jim Harbaugh. That team interviewed, maybe not giving Jim Harbaugh the job. Last year, this year, all we've heard of is Jim trying to get interviews, not the other way around of him saying, thanks, but no thanks.
I also, though, think it's fair to wonder how genuine is that desire to go to the NFL or really keep on using this to just keep on driving up his contract that it was, being at Michigan. Like, I think he's happy at Michigan. Do I think he wants to flirt and go back to the NFL? Yes, but if he doesn't love the job, I think he could use some teams to just say, okay, I'm there. And he's already done it. Like, I think it's very funny how he's talked to the Broncos, and now today, even though we got conflicting reports, there's reports of growing optimism that he's going to return, is he just keep on using teams in the NFL that people could say, okay, there's enough there with Condoleezza Rice out in Denver and all the other connections from his past at Stanford where you could think, okay, he's going to take that job if offered. But maybe he doesn't really want it. He just keeps on using it to bump up his deal at Michigan. Like, look at last year with Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. They worked together in San Francisco. He's definitely going to get the job. And then he didn't get offered the job. So I would love to be a fly on the wall in the interview process because I'm with you. I think he wants to go back to the NFL. But if he comes back to Michigan this time around, and maybe he just doesn't get offered the job, I just wonder, with only him taking one interview this time around again, if this just keeps on being a consistent playbook of, okay, I'll look like I'm dancing, but in reality, I'm going to come back to Michigan. And in some ways, it reminds me of the college version of James Franklin. Like, how many times had a job opened up in recent years? Oh, James Franklin's going to be a candidate. You're like, what? You're going to hire James Franklin? And it's okay. Now I'm going to get a 10-year extension from Penn State.
The thing, though, it's a dangerous game to play just because if you're Jim Harbaugh, because you can easily get negatively recruited against. Ohio State can use that against you. Every team can use that against you. When you're constantly flirting the NFL,
I guess, but
I think it's more bad than good.
Now, I know there's questions on NIL and all that when it comes to Michigan, but a lot of times now, some players don't even care the coaches, just how much money can I get? But whether Harbaugh's there or not, some kid could get an NIL deal that's pretty lucrative. Yeah, it could be used against you, but I do think there's still a big-time appeal of going to Michigan, and so far, he could sit down and recruit and say, I haven't left yet. So don't believe all this nonsense. And I'm just, wouldn't you interview if you had a chance to go to the NFL again? You know, I'm just interviewing and using it as experience. There's always ways that you could spin this. I know that there's recruiting games now, but I do think some of the recruiting games go away a little bit because some kids just care about how much money can I get? Who cares to the coaches? Who cares how I'm going to get developed? Just give me the most money. And that's how some kids are going to think. And if that's the way, I can't really fault them for it because they should be able to go make money. As the way that it's going to play on out. All right, I promise you at 7:40, we will get into Tua Tagovailoa. We'll talk about Lamar Jackson and also squeeze in the Jets. I know we've been teasing it, but we just kept on getting sidetracked by other things that keep on breaking. But we return on the other side. We do have a guest lined up, J.P. Shadrick, who's a part of the Jaguars Radio Network, as the Jags, Duval, are back in the postseason, and they have a home game this weekend as AFC South champions, and they welcome in the Los Angeles Chargers. And I think the Jags right now are a very trendy pick. So we'll talk to J.P. Shadrick next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Duval got a home playoff game this weekend. How about that? Dougie P, first year in Jacksonville. Team looked like they were down and out. Wins the AFC South. And now the welcome in the Los Angeles Chargers this weekend. J.P. Shadrick does a great job covering the team as a senior reporter for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he joins us right now. J.P., I would ask you how you're doing, but I know the answer to that.
Yeah, things are doing pretty well down here in Duval, Zach. It's good to be back with you. And times have changed, right? After a rough first half, they had an incredible second half and an all-time walk down of the Titans in the division standings, down 4 games after week 11, and they win the division title. I mean, it's an unbelievable Jaguar town anyway. They're at a fever pitch right now.
I really love Doug Peterson when I covered him in Philadelphia. Saw him win a Super Bowl, just overcoming so much adversity. I thought he got the short end of things on his way out of Philadelphia, but it has worked for the Eagles, to be fair. And it seems like people always try to kind of disrespect and not give Doug the credit. I love that he's been able to now be back at a sideline and kind of give people the middle finger again. And he won't ever say it, but going to the playoffs now with another team, I thought is very impressive.
Well, I mean, he's a competitor, right? I mean, the guy played in the NFL. Yeah, he was a backup for a long time, but he understands this league from top to bottom and what it means to for a city to have a winning, strong football team that competes week over week. And this team hasn't done that for a long time. So coming in, he had a pretty good idea of what would happen if they were able to turn some things around. And he was able, really, to kind of cherry-pick his way. I mean, he took a year off and then kind of waited for the right opportunity. And that opportunity came with this situation here in Jacksonville with a quarterback going into year two who's the number one overall pick, a lot of cap space, GM and an owner willing to spend the money. And guess what? They put it all together. And credit the players, too, for buying into it. After what happened last year, a lot of those guys might have been shell-shocked a little bit, right? I mean, a lot of young players, a lot of new players to the NFL, and that was their first experience in the league, what happened in 2021. So his first, you know, when he first came in, his first priority was to earn the trust of the players again. Hey, this is how we do it in the NFL. This is how I did it in Philadelphia to win a Lombardi Trophy. And let's buy in and do this thing the right way. So he's been fantastic for this team. I mean, his steady day-to-day leadership never wavers, and that's just what the doctor ordered for this group.
Is it just as simple when you look at the Jaguars this year? And I think their roster is underrated and doesn't get enough credit, but it's just that new voice and that new culture just did wonders for that team.
It did. That was step one. But like I said, you still had to bring in some talent, too. I mean, pretty much every free agent player they paid, and they caught some hell for some of the guys they signed, right? I mean, they've all paid off. They've all been really good this year. Christian Kirk has played up to that salary he's getting, if not a little bit better. Zay Jones as well. Evan Engram asked people in New York what they thought about
him. Yeah, he couldn't catch a cold when he was here. Now all he does is catch things in Jacksonville. He's been good.
Right. He's got the franchise record for a single season and catches and yards for a tight end. I mean, and those guys were kind of cast off in their other places, and they all three have career-high catches and yardage this year, and a couple of instances touchdowns too. And they work well in this offense. They kind of cherry-pick guys who work hard, who have a good reputation in the league, that are good locker room guys, and could fit in this system. And that's the most important thing for Doug Peterson. So it's worked out. So all that combined, the message with the good players performing up to, if not better, than the level they expected, that's really on both sides of the ball. Defense has a little bit of that, too. Foye Aluakin leading the league in tackles again. Some defensive line play has been really good at times. So they're very happy with the acquisitions of the offseason.
I'll tell you, Rayshon Jenkins, I know it's his second year in Duval, but he's been great for you guys.
Well, he's been a killer lately. I mean, this guy is all over the field right now. I mean, he's intercepting balls against Dallas. You know, obviously was in the right place, right time on the interception return for a touchdown in overtime a few weeks ago. And then they blitz him at the right time, and he gets home just in time to force the fumble and the go-ahead and game-winning touchdown this past week. A career high in tackles for him, and he's flying all over the field. They're sending him on blitzes. He's a physical player. And he had 18 tackles in that Dallas game, by the way. It's not like he's just swinging back there in center field. I mean, he's up making contact, physical player, loves the game, loves the city and the energy that comes with it, and he's a big piece of what they're doing back there.
J.P. Shadrick here with us. So before the draft, when they had the number one overall pick, I liked Hutchinson better. I like Kayvon Thibodeau better. If I was making that selection, I would have gone with either one of those two players. What has kind of been your evaluation this year of Trayvon Walker?
I don't think they perform as well as they did in the Week 18 game against the Titans running game without Trayvon Walker. He is the big physical presence that is a guy that can go through a stiff arm of Derrick Henry. And he showed that a couple times in that game with some tackles for loss and some impact plays. Yeah, number one overall pick, you kind of feel like, okay, he's going to be an outside linebacker. You need some more pass rush out of him. Hasn't quite got to that yet. And they feel like in time that can come. But as the season moved on, they're like, you know what? He's more comfortable inside. Let's move him in there a little bit more. And he's played better the second half of the season when they've moved him around a little bit, not just stuck him outside standing up. So they put him down on 3-point on the inside, and he has performed pretty well. And they like the future for him. They think the ceiling's high for him. He's a young player still, but he's a big physical presence. And he can impact some plays. It's just a matter of time for him to really put it all together.
J.P. Shadrick, all right, give me your evaluation. The quarterback has been unbelievable down the stretch. What's impressed you the most about Trevor Lawrence?
Just his ability to kind of flip the switch middle of the season, right? I mean, things weren't going well first half. I mean, he's throwing interceptions into the end zone on first and goal at the one in London. What are you doing, Trevor? Right? Like, what are we?
Yeah.
We don't do that. Throw it to the fish and chips vendor. Like, don't throw it to three defenders. And that was the moment. That it was that game. He threw two picks in that game against the Broncos, and that was the end of the line. That was the fifth straight loss for this Jags team. They had lost some fourth quarter leads. They had turned it over late, and he kind of had a self-assessment. You know what? I'm hurting this football team right now, and I don't want to do that. It's not like he worked harder or studied more film. He just had a little more regard, I think, for the football and what it means for him to make mistakes and their impact on the team when he doesn't. So he was just a little more protective of the football and let other guys – he didn't have to do it all himself. And I think his awareness and realization that he came to of that, I think, is what tells you, okay, he's maturing. He's stepping in the right direction. He's got the tools physically. He's got the arm. He can see the game. But just the realization that I don't have to do everything. I've got all these other guys here that can make plays too, and a defense that's opportunistic. Let's manage this and get this team to the finish line each week. And I think that's been the best thing about Trevor, man. And he's a competitor, man. He may be like the surfer bro, kind of like long hair. Hey, I'm cool. Everything's all right. You get him in a competitive situation late in the game, and he'll come get you now. I mean, he's a little under the radar with that. And I think you're going to start seeing that down the stretch here.
I also think, J.P. Shadrick, a lot of people forget, and this is more of a conversation for next year, they made a smart move at the deadline going out there and getting Calvin Ridley. I know he's had the whole year off with the suspension, but with what you're seeing out of some of these receivers this year, you had Calvin Ridley, who everyone before the suspension thought was the number one wide receiver. That's just another just benefit to this offense coming up next year.
You know, it's funny. You see him tweeting all the time during Jaguar games. So, you know,
you forget that he's on the team, you know?
Right. You really do, because everything's going so well right now. But, you know, add him to the mix if he's in form, right? As you said, a year. It's really been a year and a half, at least.
Yeah.
Since he's really played. So is he going to be in form? How quickly, if he's reinstated, how quickly can he get in, you know, on the field and work with Trevor and get the timing down and everything that comes with that? But if he's close to that, then it is well worth what they gave up to get it, because even if he just performs over the moon well, it's only a second-round pick at the end of the day if he performs up to par and does all the great numbers and everything that goes with that. So it's a fantastic speculative trade for the Jaguars, and you got to credit Trent Baalke, GM, for that too. He's taken a lot of heat over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I also got to give them credit, and maybe this is Urban Meyer and Trent Baalke going back to 2 years ago, drafting Travis Etienne, because I like James Robinson. I know he got traded to the Jets, and it just didn't work out for him there in New York, but I didn't think they needed to draft a running back in the first round. I know Etienne's a little bit more than a running back, but last year with the injury, to be able to get, and I always thought he was a good player at Clemson, but to be able to get what they got out of him this year, probably even had to exceed expectations.
Well, I mean, he had a Liz Frank foot injury in the preseason last year, right? And you never know with some of those injuries how bad it's going to be. And it was pretty darn bad. He's got a screw in his foot still to this day, he said. So, hey, it's still there, but he has recovered and he's played well. He fumbles the football a little bit. He's got to kind of hang on to it. Even I talk to Fred Taylor every week, the great running back here on our pregame show, and it's like even with two hands on the ball, sometimes it squirts out somehow. He can't figure out how. Like, so he's just working on that kind of stuff. But when he gets in the clear and he turns on the burners, look out. He split two defenders a couple weeks ago in Houston against the Texans. It was blocked up pretty well, but there was still a corner and a safety coming in. He just went right between them. They had an angle and everything, but not for long. He's got that home run speed, and that's something that previous running back Robinson just didn't have. He couldn't score from 30 or more out. It was no chance of that at all. With Travis, if you break him free, look out. He can take it the distance.
I think everyone would admit, in whatever order you want, the three best quarterbacks in the AFC are Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow. But this quarterback matchup, when you see this weekend, they're probably four and five, however you want to rank them, Herbert and Lawrence, especially with the injury to Lamar Jackson, this is going to be one heck of a quarterback matchup. I can't wait for it.
Spicy, right? I mean, this is fun. I mean, it's similar numbers. Herbert's got some more yardage this year, but the touchdown and the interception numbers are similar. Completion percentage, pretty darn close. I mean, this is going to be a fun AFC for a long time. Every AFC team has a number or a first round pick quarterback on it. There's only one in the NFC somehow, and that's Daniel Jones. Everybody else was not picked in the first round. So the AFC is like a murderer's row, when it comes to quarterbacks right now. And it's going to be for a long time. So good thing the Jaguars have one in their back pocket right now, because those other guys aren't going away either.
What did you think of Staley last week, by the way, when that game meant nothing, playing his guys as long as it did, and now it may cost them for Mike Williams this weekend?
You know, I was a little intrigued by it, and, I'm sure everybody in the building kind of watched that, too, and were like, huh. But, they didn't know, I guess, until probably second half of the game that it was a done deal, right? They already got their plan in there. Maybe they had some rhythm, something like that. I mean, different strokes for different teams. You know, Doug Peterson, in theory, didn't have to play guys a couple weeks ago in a meaningless game against Houston, but he wanted to keep the rhythm of the offense going, get some things done, and then if they have a comfortable lead, get them out of there. That was in week 17, because that outcome didn't matter. Week 18 was all it was going to come down for anyway. So maybe the same idea a little bit for the Chargers. Hey, we're there. Let's get our quarterback out there. The receivers haven't been out there a lot this year. I guess that's the reason why, and we'll see what happens with Williams. I mean, he's questionable for the game, but if you're questionable for the game right now, you're playing, right? This is the playoff game. They're going to be out there no matter what. If they aren't going to be out there, they'd be ruled out. So there's a full expectation that they'll have a full arsenal with the Chargers.
JP Shadrick here with us. What decides this game this weekend coming up on Saturday between the Jags and the Chargers?
Oh, turnovers. I mean, mistakes are amplified in the playoffs, certainly. And Trevor's been pretty good in the second half of not turning it over too much, protecting it. But you still have to be able to score. I think this is a 30-point. You got to score 30 to hang around, because these guys are going to throw it around all day. And the Jags have an advantage a little bit in the running game. 2 weeks ago, ETN was pretty good in Houston. They were tough against Tennessee last week. They had some issues because the Titans are good against the run. So they should be able to make some hay there if they need to, and then play action off of that. But I think Trevor lets it loose, man. I think this is in the 30s at least, and it could be a marquee football game on Wild Card Weekend.
I know you're an Alabama guy. Seems like one way or another, whether that's Indianapolis or Houston, you're going to be having to watch your guy Bryce Young go up against your Jaguars.
Well, maybe the Jaguars will beat him twice a year, no matter where he's at. I mean, hey, that's in the past, my guy. They don't send a paycheck this way. So guess what? that's what it's going to be. He's in the division. The Jaguars are going after him. So we'll see. But it is a changing division, right? I mean, the Jaguars have some stability at the head coaching spot, obviously. The quarterback position, some key players are here for a while under contract. Guess what? The other teams in the AFC South really don't right now. Can they take advantage of that? It starts now. It started with the last couple weeks of the regular season, setting that tone against Houston and Tennessee with those wins. And now if they can make a little run here in the playoffs, Jags aren't going anywhere anytime soon. So they can really take command of this AFC South.
The bottom line is you need a coach and a quarterback in this league. And in that division, I have no questions about the quarterback. I have no questions about the coach. In Tennessee, I love the coach. They don't have a quarterback. And Indianapolis and Houston don't have the coach or the quarterback. So set up nicely for the Jaguars right now if they can stay healthy for the foreseeable future.
No doubt about that, and those are the two toughest things to find in the NFL. Don't we know? It's been a while for the Jags to try to get those two positions right, head coach and quarterback. They've got it. They've got pieces around them. They'll stockpile a little bit more in the offseason whenever that comes, but they're in a great place right now.
Well, enjoy the game. I know you will. Coming up on Saturday night, 8:15 p.m. Eastern, between the Chargers and the Jaguars. He's J.P. Shadrick, senior reporter for the Jaguars. We appreciate it.
Hey, no doubt, man. It's going to be a great scene Saturday night. Appreciate you having me, Zach.
You got it, JP. Thanks so much. Let's take a timeout. We'll come on back, do a little Tua Tagovailoa talk, Lamar Jackson, and also highlight the Jets and their future at the quarterback position.
The NFL playoffs live. on Odyssey.
Throws, caught! Touchdown as time expires!
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown!
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Some folks don't stop searching till they find the truth. And if you've got the eye of a detective, June's Journey is the game for you. Play as June Parker in a gripping murder mystery adventure as you find hidden objects to help solve her sister's death. You'll hunt for clues in hundreds of beautifully illustrated scenes set in the roaring 20s. With more than 1,000 scenes filled with clues, there's always something new to discover. You may even trek across the globe for your next lead. Every week, new chapters are added with new characters to meet and places to search. Plus, there are tons of fun, unique features to keep you entertained. From building your own island estate with expansive gardens and beautiful buildings to collecting scraps of information on each character to fill your photo album. You can even play with or against other players by joining a detective club. Find your first clue by downloading June's Journey today. Available on Android and iOS mobile devices, as well as on PC through Facebook Games.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. This NFL postseason, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free. The wild card round, the divisional round, the AFC and NFC championship games, the Pro Bowl game, and Super Bowl 57. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, and it's all sponsored by AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. So, not surprising. Last week, I would have thought that this would have been surprising because I thought he would have played, but when you got the kind of update this week that Lamar Jackson still wasn't practicing, you knew that it was going to be inevitable that he was not going to play. The question would just be, when would you find out? Well, Lamar broke the news himself today. He said, "Thank you, everyone, for your support and concern regarding my injuries. I want to give you all an update as I'm in the recovery process. I've suffered a PCL grade 2 sprain on the borderline of a strain 3. There's still inflammation surrounding my knee, and my knee remains unstable. I'm still in good spirits, but as I continue with treatments on the road to recovery, I wish I could be out there with my guys more than anything, but I can't give 100% of myself to my guys and fans. I'm still hopeful we still have a chance." So pretty much that's Lamar Jackson saying he ain't going to be able to play this weekend. Now, Hickey, because there was this thought probably last few weeks, how much of this is injury related and how much of this is contract related? Maybe I'm naive because for a while I thought this was contract related, but when you hear Jim Trotter talk about the PCL injury, which we played to that audio yesterday, when you hear Lamar say there's still inflammation when it comes to his knee, this makes me think that this is more genuinely injury-related than him not playing because he's not happy with his contract situation and trying to stick it to the team. Would you agree with that, that you are believing the actual way it's being portrayed to us that this is more injury-related than contract-related?
Oh, 100%. Until a player actually sits out because of contract reasons or milks an injury come playoff time and it kind of puts his team in jeopardy because they're unhappy with the contract.
No.
We've never seen it until it actually happens. I'll never believe that's ever going to be the case, especially for the playoffs.
Like, even Le'Veon Bell, who we all know sat out a year. Remember when he joined us? I don't know how many weeks ago that was, but he was promoting some fight that he was doing. He even said, I don't miss playing, but if I could come back and play, it would only be for the playoffs. He goes, that would be pretty dope if he could come back and play for the postseason. So now it brings up a different conversation. And the conversation we've had is, does Lamar want to be with the Ravens moving forward? And I don't know what the answer is to that. Every indication I get is there's something just funky with that contract. And 2 years ago made sense. Well, you don't want to get a deal done. You want to see how the other guys get paid, like a Josh Allen, even though Josh Allen's better than you. You want a unanimous MVP. He hasn't. This year, though, it seemed like the Ravens were begging to get a deal done. And then when Lamar wanted to get a deal done, it was okay. The deal didn't get done. So this offseason, I've said this before, if they don't get a long-term deal done this offseason, I don't think they're ever going to get a long-term deal done. But there has been moments before, going back to the draft, when he knew that Marquise Hollywood Brown was going to get traded. Marquise Hollywood Brown wanted out, and he was annoyed at the organization. So I don't think Lamar is thrilled with the organization, but I'm starting to wonder here, Hickey, with the last 2 years, him not being available and him being out because of injuries, if maybe the Ravens don't, as crazy as it sounds, because the guy's a tremendous football player, and you know he can be a great quarterback, and when you have someone that can be a great quarterback, you usually don't give up on him. But I'm wondering if the Ravens would just be fine with him playing next year on a franchise tag, or if Lamar comes to them and says, guys, it's either get the deal done now or trade me. I don't know if that's out of the realm of possibilities, that the Ravens would be content with letting him go if it means they don't have to give him that long-term deal. It seems like the Ravens don't want to give him that long-term deal.
I agree. I feel like every day that goes by, you get it feels like more and more likely that the Ravens would be like, I don't know. Because even you look at today, why is Lamar the one releasing his own injury information?
Yeah, I don't know.
When the Ravens were as tight to the vest as possible, it almost feels like Lamar feels like the Ravens are the ones kind of leaving him out to dry, because when they're being so vague about it, it opens up the thought of, is this contract related?
Mm-hmm.
And they did nothing to, you know, squash that. And so here's Lamar basically saying, I'm hurt. I want to play. It's not contract related. I wonder if even like just today, him announcing his own injury news is more of like, there's a disconnect between him and the Ravens,
and he's
upset about it.
Great point. And I think if the Ravens ever had to address that, they would say two things. Well, one, it does us no benefit in the gamesmanship of ruling out Lamar Jackson, which you could all roll your eyes out, but that's the way that these coaches work. The other thing that you could kind of point this to is a lot of people think Harbaugh is frustrated, correct? Well, Harbaugh frustration could be interpreted in two ways. One, he's frustrated because he thinks Lamar is healthy and should be playing, but he's not because of the contract. Or two, he's just frustrated because the guy's hurt and doesn't have his quarterback, and now he doesn't have a shot with Tyler Huntley or Anthony Brown to do some damage. So I think Harbaugh would say, oh, no, it's not me frustrated because I think Lamar, like, he would never admit publicly, hey, Lamar was healthy and he just didn't play because of the contract. Lamar, you would always have Harbaugh say, I'm frustrated because of the injury. But that frustration does get interpreted in two different ways, like you're saying.
And the injury is 100%, you know, valid because, look, they were 8-3 last year when he got hurt, and they lost every game. And this year, I forget the record when he went down, but, like, they were in a solid playoff positioning. And now you have Tyler Huntley, you have no chance. Like, 2 years in a row, the Ravens' season was ended because of the Lamar injury and his inability to get back on the field.
I will say this, and I've been saying this since the draft. We are heading towards a split with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. I think Lamar would be fine with the split, and in a crazy way, because of the injuries the last 2 years, I do believe that the Ravens would be fine with the split. The question just becomes, is it this offseason or next offseason? Because they could franchise tag him this offseason, then you could franchise tag him again, and you're not just going to let him walk for a compensatory third-round pick. So if you franchise tag him this offseason and want to play him this this regular season coming up next year, that's fine. But then you have to trade him after that if you're not going to get a deal done, because you can't run the risk of only losing him for a third-round pick. But if that's going to be the case, if I'm the Ravens and if I'm Lamar, I would want a final answer this offseason. You either get the deal done this offseason, or if you're the Ravens, you trade him, or if you're Lamar Jackson, you demand that you get traded. That's the way that I think that should go down. But could it be that he plays one more year in Baltimore? Yeah, I do guess it's possible. Now, real quickly, just yes or no, and we'll get more into this conversation coming up later. If you're the Dolphins with Tua Tagovailoa now having to deal with multiple concussions, and if he has one more concussion, that could be career-ending. Like, we're talking about serious life things, not just a knee injury that you could recover from. Yes or no, the Dolphins this offseason will look to replace Tua Tagovailoa?
Yes.
Okay. We will get into that conversation on the other side. Also on the other side, we got to delve into the Jets a little bit. Because the Jets are, we know Woody Johnson said he'll do whatever it takes when it comes to the quarterback position. They got the money to spend. Who will the Jets be in on this offseason? And also, when you look around all the teams in the NFL, who are the attractive destinations for quarterbacks when you look at the rest of the roster? We'll get into that conversation on the other side. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Paul Allen, the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Vikings, going to join us coming up in 25 minutes. I don't think, with all the people I've talked to, I don't think I've ever had Paul on. And I'm very excited because Paul, I think, is the best play-by-play guy, don't tell anybody else, when it comes to calling games in the NFL this year.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Some folks don't stop till they find the truth. June's Journey is a roaring 20s murder mystery hidden object game. Find your first clue by downloading June's Journey today. Available on Android or iOS devices and on PC through Facebook Games.